give a few hugs. All right, everybody. Okay, everybody, we have a Paul Harvey moment for you. You ready for this? We're going to tell you the rest of the story. You ready for this? You got to be seated for this. So this is a powerful one. All right. I'll hold this for you. Check this out.
Okay. This morning, I get up in the middle of the night to do my reading and pray and stuff. And this morning at 4 o'clock, the Lord, I was reading through our passages that are for the day. And in Jeremiah 15, it says, "Did not your father..." Oh, and the Lord gave me this word for Christy this morning. I'm sitting there thinking, I need to share this one with Christy. This is...
Christy's the person that just shared just a minute ago. Okay.
And says, "Did not your father eat and drink and do justice and righteousness? Then it was well with him. He pled the cause of the afflicted and needy. Then it was well. Is this not what it means to know me? Declares the Lord. Is this not what it means to know me? Declares the Lord." She's following in her father's footsteps. She got off the bus Monday morning and met a gal homeless. And she says, "No, but I'll take you to breakfast." And then she says, "Meet me here tomorrow morning. I'll take you to breakfast." So each day through the week, and on Friday, she was combing her hair and stuff, and she says to Christy, I just want to look nice for you. And Christy says, now I'm not here over the weekend. But she said, I'll see you on Monday. So this is what it means to know God, is to do justice and righteousness for those who are in need, for those that are outcast. If you want to know God, touch this lady. She's been in his presence.
Amen. Thank you. I mean, it's just an illustration of what Jesus said in Matthew. Whatever you've done to the least of these, you've done to me. This is a walking sermon right now. I feel like we've had church, so God bless you all. I'm going to lunch. No. Thank you for that, Dick and Christy. I wanted to give you an update on our facility that we are in escrow. This last week, Chase Bank turned down the loan from Foursquare because the holding of the title would be in Los Angeles at the denominational headquarters, but the facility is in Tucson, and Chase doesn't deal with that anywhere. You know, where you have your facility, that's where you have to hold the title. So then we went through another broker trying to find us a loan, and we struck out there too, just because of the way Foursquare is structured. There's so many companies right now, billion-dollar companies like our denomination, Foursquare. So many companies, though, that are defaulting on their loans because of these difficult economic times, that they don't want to take a risk on, you know, loaning out to a company that has a huge debt load. So even though Foursquare has never defaulted on the loan, they're taking the gamble that this might not work out. And you see it every day. Even yesterday, Mrs. Field's company declaring bankruptcy. And so banks are very leery of loaning. So what we heard, though, was from Foursquare is that they will give loans out to just from the denomination themselves, because they've got millions of dollars in the bank, but they'll loan out to churches, Foursquare churches, for loans under $500,000. So we've begun the process on that. If that fails, then we're going to just stay here for a long time until God gives us the right facility. But so that's where we are right now, and it's still 50-50. It can go either way, and I'm content, as I know many of you are, either way too. If God wants us to have this facility in here in Catalina, then he's going to open up the door for it. If not, you know what, we can love on each other and love God and help people find Jesus as their Savior without a facility until it's God's timing for us. So that's where we are with it. Please keep praying for God's will over the situation. We all know that if we had a facility, it would really help us, you know, enhance the ministries we have, having a place where we can counsel, having a place where we can have youth ministries and children's ministries and cleansing stream and deliverance ministries and all those things that, you know, are great, prayer meetings and just tons of things that a facility would really help us with. So, but we want God's will, obviously, not anybody else's will on it. So let's keep praying. All right, thank you.
We're going to worship the Lord with his tithes and our offerings here in a minute. In your worship guide, if this is your first time here with us today, there's a connection card in your worship guide. If you would open up your worship guide, fill this out, place it in the offering plate when it comes by in just a moment, that would be terrific. We're just going to get a little bit of information about you. Let's have a word of prayer for today's offering. Lord Jesus, we thank you so much, Lord, for this church and this church body and the people that are here, Father. We know that you have an amazing plan for this church. Right now, we just ask that you guide us and direct us as we look at this facility and as you direct us as whether or not this is where you want our church. Lord, we just pray that you work out the details and just let us know, and we will follow your direction. Lord, bless these tithes and offerings. In Jesus' name, amen.
In your worship guide, this one, in your worship guide is a Pathway Happenings note sheet right here like this. If you pull that out, I want to draw your attention to a few things. First of all, there's another insert in your worship guide about a Waikiki in the wake of dreams. This is a special movie night that we're doing on August 30th, coming up the end of this month at the Oro Valley Library from 7 to 8:30. We're going to have some good Hawaiian food there, authentic Hawaiian food, and we're going to be showing a documentary film about Waikiki, and it's a fundraiser for our building fund here at the church. And so we really want you guys to participate. If you want to come, you got to buy your tickets ahead of time because of the rules they have at the Oro Valley Library. We're not allowed to exchange money there. So stop by the Yes table after the service and buy your tickets. It's $5 for adults, $3 for children under 12, and they're going to have their own little movie and food and stuff. So it's going to be a lot of fun. Make sure that you check that out. There isn't Hawaiian food, is there? No, there's not. It's a snack bar that you have to buy a script for in order to get hot dogs and nachos and popcorn and all that kind of stuff. So read this. It's more reliable than me. It has all the details. Now, where there is Hawaiian food is tonight at the softball game, 5:30, up at the field. And it's going to be great because the game that's at 5:30 tonight is the Battle of the Pastors. At 5:30 tonight, Pastor Johnny's team, the Compadres, the defending league champions, are going up against Pastor Doug's Dreamers. And it's going to be a blowout. And I'm not going to tell you which direction it's going to be a blowout. But their name starts with a D. Going to be great. So be there 5:30 tonight, and they're going to have authentic Hawaiian food. $7 gets you a plate of great Hawaiian food, and you can participate in that. That's also a fundraiser for the building fund, and it's going to be a lot of fun. Don't miss out on that. All right? Be there. Okay. Also in your worship guide this morning is a note sheet. If you would pull that out. That would be great. And go to that next slide there, Shanika. Have you ever felt like this guy? Yeah, why am I so tired? This is a normal thing, a normal way to feel. That's what I want to talk to you about today. Why am I so tired? My family was hanging out over at Randy and Elizabeth's house about a week ago. We were playing some cards and just fellowshipping, and we were there pretty late at night. It was past Isaac's bedtime by the time we were, you know, still in the middle of our card game. And Isaac went to his mom and got his bottle, Isaac is 1.5 years old, and his bedtime is usually around 8:30, 9 o'clock. And so about 9:30 or 10 o'clock that night, he's basically wandering around the house with his bottle in his mouth, and he was just kind of... It's like his eyes were unfocused, but he didn't want to sit down. He didn't want to lay down because he wasn't at home. He wasn't comfortable, but he was just wandering around the house, bumping into furniture. Like, he didn't know where he was going. It's like there was something in that bottle besides milk. It was really, he was so tired. He was so tired he couldn't even see straight. But open up your Bibles, if you would, to Isaiah chapter 40. We're going to look at verses 30 and 31 this morning. I'll give you a second. It's also going to be up on the screen behind me. It says this. It says, "Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint." Here's the problem. About a month ago, I was up here, I spoke, you remember, and I talked about that children's book that some parents use for potty training. You remember that? Everybody poops. Talked about that book. I use that to illustrate the point, you know, everybody poops, everybody sins. I want to add to that this morning. Everybody poops, everybody sins. And everybody gets tired. Everybody
gets tired. That's the problem. We run out of energy. We can't do it all ourselves. You know, life wears us out. You know, we're dragging through life. We're exhausted all the time. We never have time to relax. It's always go, 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 especially in this culture that we live in of just fast pace and got to be done now and everybody wants their stuff now and go, 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 go. We're going to run out of energy. We're going to get tired. And when that happens to you, know that there's nothing wrong with you. It doesn't mean you're doing something wrong. It doesn't mean that there's something wrong with you. You're not a bad person. You're just human. Because we have limited resources. But it's hard to do the work that God wants us to do in our lives when we're exhausted, isn't it? It's hard to find the energy to do the important stuff for eternity when the earthly stuff of life is just kicking us around. We get tired. We get exhausted. So here's your solution. Three things. And these are very simple things. This is really a very simple solution, but I am willing to bet that if you are tired in your life right now, you are missing one of these three things. At least one of these three things. So I'll give you the three things, and then I'll go more into detail about how they apply. Okay, first of all, pray. You got to pray daily. Talk to God. Secondly, you got to read God's word daily. And thirdly, you got to give up your burdens. And if you are tired in your life right now, I'm willing to bet that at least one of these three things has fallen by the wayside. It's dragging you down. Let's look at the first one here. First of all, we've got to pray. And our best example of that is Jesus. If we look at Matthew 26, you can write this reference on your outline there. Matthew 26, 36 through 39. Write that down. It says this. It says, then Jesus went with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane. This is right before he's arrested, tried, and crucified. And he knows what's going on. He knows what's going to happen. He went with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane. And he said to them, sit here while I go over there and pray. He took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee along with him. And he began to be sorrowful and troubled. And he said to them, my soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me. And going a little farther, he fell with his face to the ground and he prayed, my Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me. Yet not as I will, but as you will. Doesn't Jesus sound tired there? He knows what's going to happen. It's weighing on him. It's weighing him down. And what does he do when that happens? Drops to his knees. And he prays. He was stressed out. But he prayed. And that's what we need to do too. We need to pray when we're feeling stress. When we're tired. That should be our first instinct. Normally, right, as humans, our first instinct is to try to fix it or ignore it or, you know, something else. But our first instinct as humans should be to pray when something comes up. We've got to retrain our brains. So when something comes up in our lives and we're starting to feel stressed out and tired, we've got to pray. Psalm 139, 23, you can write that verse down. It says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me, and know my anxious thoughts. David's saying that too. David's another great example to follow for how we should live our lives, except for the whole adultery thing. Besides that, David's a great example for how we should live our lives. And in Psalm 139, he's saying, search me. know my anxious thoughts. I'm worried. Know what's going on in my mind. God wants us to come to him and to talk to him. He wants us to bring our troubles. He wants us to bring the good things and the bad things. He wants to celebrate with us, and he wants to grieve with us. He wants to be your best friend. But you got to be willing to talk to him if you're going to do that. We need to pray for ourselves when we're feeling stressed. We see that in Nehemiah 6, verse 9. Nehemiah is trying to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem after coming back from Babylonian captivity. Israel is just reforming as a people after being in captivity for a while, and they're trying to rebuild Jerusalem. They're rebuilding the walls. And Nehemiah, the people that live in the towns around Jerusalem, they're upset that the Israelites are coming back because they've had that territory for years now, and they don't want the Israelites to come back. So they're trying to intimidate the Israelites and keep them from rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem. And Nehemiah 6:9 says, they were all trying to frighten us, thinking their hands will get too weak for the work and it will not be completed. And he was getting tired. He was getting stressed out. But it says, but I prayed, now strengthen my hands. That's what Nehemiah did when he got tired, when he got stressed out. He prayed, Lord, give me your strength to accomplish what you want me to do, because I don't have that strength on my own. So many times in our lives, we don't have the strength to do what God wants us to do on our own. God gives us a plan. He gives us what he wants us to do. He tells us what he wants us to do, and we know what that is, but we just don't have the strength on our own. That's when we need to pray like Nehemiah prayed. Say, Lord, strengthen my hands to do your work. And not only do we need to pray for ourselves when we're feeling stressed, we need to pray for others. Because what that does is it helps get our focus off of ourselves and onto other people. Right? In Luke 22:32, Jesus again, great example for us to follow. Luke 22:32, it says, but I have prayed for you, Simon, speaking to Peter, that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned back, strengthen your brothers. Jesus was praying for other people. He's saying this right before he is arrested and tried and crucified. Jesus has a lot on his mind, but he still finds the time to pray for other people, for the people around him. We need to do that too. When you're feeling stressed out, find somebody to pray for who's going through something, and your focus will come off of yourself, and your problems won't seem so bad. Promise. And leaders, this is also a great example for us to follow, because Jesus was praying for the people that were placed under him, people that he had authority over. And church leaders should be praying for the people that are under your authority. People that work under you in ministry, the people that you're responsible for in your small group. You should be praying for those people every day. And by doing that, your life will have less stress. But you'll be focused on them. God wants to hear what you have to say. But you got to open up your mouth and pray. That's the first step. And if you're not praying every day, if you're not talking to God, that could be why you're so tired. Secondly, you got to read God's word daily. You got to be in the word. Because talking to God is great. But how are you going to hear what he has to say back to you if you're not in God's word? More often than not, that's how God communicates to us, is through his word. You've got to be in the Bible every day, reading and talking to God, letting him speak back to you through the pages of the Bible.
Psalm 119:28 says, "My soul is weary with sorrow. Strengthen me according to your word." And David there is saying that I'm going to God's word for strength. I was going to do this. I had this idea for an experiment that I was going to do that would have made a great sermon illustration. I want to tell you about this. About, you know, it would illustrate the fact of how important it is to talk to God every day and how important it is for God to listen for God talking back to you every day. So I had this idea for this experiment. It was going to be great. I went to Pastor Johnny. I said, "Pastor Johnny, I got this great idea. It's going to be really cool. I'm going to go one whole day, sun up to sundown, without talking to my wife. Not one word. I'm going to get up. I'm going to get dressed for work. I'm going to get out the door without saying goodbye. I'm going to come home from work. I'm going to sit in front of the TV. I'm not going to even make eye contact with her. I'm just going to completely ignore her all the way until bedtime. It's going to be great. It's going to illustrate the fact of how important it is for us to talk to God every day. Because if you can't go a whole day without talking to your spouse, then how can you go a whole day without talking to God, the two most important people in your life?" Pastor Johnny put his hand on my shoulder. He said, "Doug, Mindy and I agree that you're a pretty smart guy. But that is the dumbest idea I've ever heard in my life." So I reconsidered. Then I thought, what if I bring her in on the experiment? Then it'll be great because she won't get offended. She'll know why it's happening, and she, you know, won't get mad at me for just ignoring her, but we'll be both be in on it. We'll just completely not communicate for a whole day. So I brought this to Jackie. And she said, "Doug, that's the dumbest idea I've ever heard. What if the kids need something? What if I need help giving Isaac a bath? What, you know, there's too many logistics, especially with kids involved. It just wouldn't work." So I said, "Okay, I'll just talk about it." But it does illustrate how hard it would be. Imagine how hard it would be to go a whole day in the presence of someone that you care about and just not communicate with them at all. You don't listen to what they have to say. You don't talk to them at all. You don't acknowledge them at all. You just completely ignore them for a whole day. Imagine that. That would be insane. It would be dumb. And so, same way, we need to be in God's word every day. We need to be praying, talking to him. We need to be in his word, listening to what he has to say to us. And if we're doing that, you know, some of us are so busy, we say, "I don't have time to read the Bible every day. I don't have that half hour to put aside to do that." But it's amazing how when you do put that time aside, at the beginning of the day, at the end of your day, lunchtime, whatever works for you, if you put that time aside to talk to God, it's amazing how much more easily the rest of your life flows. And you aren't as busy, and you aren't as stressed out, and your life isn't as crazy and chaotic. And if that describes your life right now, are you in God's word every day? Are you talking to him every day? That could be why. And we have, Johnny's been plugging these life journals, these spiritual growth notebooks over the last few weeks that he's been kind of preaching on this same subject. And we have those available at the resource table for $5. And they're a great way for you to get into God's word every day, because it has a daily reading plan there. It has a notebook included in it where you can, you know, make your journal entries and stuff. And what I do is I don't even have one of those. I just have a simple green notebook I bought at Target for $3, you know, and I just make my notes in there as I read. And I do the same kind of journaling thing. And what I do for my reading plan, the same reading plan that is in those spiritual growth notebooks, those life journals, the same reading plan that's in there is on our website. I don't know if you knew that. You can go to our website. There's a link right on the main page that says read through the Bible in a year. You click on that. It takes you to a page that has all the daily Bible readings. You can click on that day's verses, and it'll take you to that, to a browser page that has the Bible reading for that day. So if you're, you know, doing your Bible reading, you know, when in your downtime at work like I do, and don't have your Bible sitting at your desk, then you can just go online and do it there. That's what I do. It's the Bible. The Bible is the Bible is the Bible. It used to be scrolls, then it was books, it's online. It's all God's Word. So we got to be in God's Word every day, is the point. Thirdly, if you are praying and you are reading God's Word and you're still tired, maybe you're hanging on to something. You need to give up your burdens. Maybe there's something you're hanging on to in your life that you don't need to hang on to. You need to release that to God. I was watching the Olympics last night, and they were showing the marathon. You know, 26-mile run. It's insane, man. I ran cross-country in high school. We ran 3 miles. I was puking at the end of every race. I can't imagine running 26 miles. That's just insane. Some people are into that. That's okay. But can you imagine? A marathon is hard, right? And a lot of people compare life to a marathon. A marathon is hard no matter what. Can you imagine trying to run a marathon with a backpack full of bricks on? Which is easier? Run a marathon with a backpack full of bricks, or to run a marathon without that backpack? Yeah. Thank you, Jonathan. It's a rhetorical question, but thanks. Take off the backpack. Life is hard enough as it is without dragging your baggage along with you. You know, there are things that we're hanging on to in our lives, past hurts, guilt, grief, you know, sinful habits. There's stuff that we're hanging on to that we just don't need to hang on to anymore. We can just release those things to God, lay them down at the foot of the cross, and let God handle them. And you know what that is in your life if there is something that you're hanging on to. You know what that is. Let go of it today. Release that to God. Philippians 4, 6 and 7. You can write this on your outline. Philippians 4, 6 and 7. It says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Take those worries, those anxieties, the things that are making us so tired, and just give them to God. Say, "God, I'm going to do a trade-in. I'm going to trade in these worries and this anxiety. I'm going to trade that in for your peace." It's a great deal. Don't pass it up. It's like trading in a beat-up old Chevy for a new Camaro, you know? Do they make Camaros anymore? No. Okay. Never mind. They're coming back. Matthew 6, 25 through 34. Turn there with me. Matthew 6, 25 through 34. Jesus is speaking here. He says, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or stow away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that's how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Amen? Yeah. Each day has enough trouble of its own. We got enough to worry about. Let's stop worrying. Let's turn those things over to God. And if you do those three things, pray every day, read God's word every day, give up your burdens, then like Isaiah 40, 30, and 31 says here, says you'll soar on wings like eagles. You will walk and not grow weary. Run and not grow weary. You will walk and not be faint. Whatever it is you're doing, whether you're soaring, whether you're running, whether you're walking, you're going to have the energy to do what God calls you to do. Because life won't be tearing you down. Amen. Let's have a word of prayer. There are people here this morning that you're tired. Am I right? You're tired. Life is wearing you down. If that's you today and you need an extra injection of God's Spirit inside you, an extra burst of God's spiritual energy, just raise your hand right now. I want to pray for you. If you're tired in your life right now, Lord, I just lift up all these hands to you, Father, these people that are tired, life is dragging them down. Lord, you want to help us through our daily lives. You want to take these burdens from us. You want to communicate to us through your word, Father. So I ask that you fill this church, fill each person that's here today with your Spirit. Give us your power and your energy to do what you want us to do, Father. And that takes trust, Lord. That takes trust because we got to know that you are the one in control and you know what you're doing. We're going to sing this final song, Trust in You. And as we do that, recognize that God is the one in control. And everything that happens in our life is under his power and his control. Nothing happens without his permission, and nothing happens that is not going to be for our good. We don't have to be tired anymore in our lives. We don't have to be exhausted going through life, waking up every day saying, oh, what's going to happen today? Let's be filled with the Spirit of God and his energy and his power as we go through this week. Let's sing Trust in You together. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, I can't see you, but I know you're there. I can't feel you. I will not fear. I will trust in you, and I will not be afraid. will not be afraid. When the darkness is close at hand and I'm running against the wind, I will trust in you and I will not be afraid. When I'm standing on that shore, all the battles have come before, I will trust in you and I will not be afraid. 'Cause I will not be afraid. I will not be afraid. I will trust in you. I will trust in you. I will trust in you. Just proclaim the church. I will trust in you. I will trust in you. I will trust in you. Trust in you, Lord. I'm trusting you. I'm trusting you. I'm trusting you. 'Cause I will not be afraid. I will not be afraid. I will not be afraid. I will trust in you. 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 I will trust in you, Lord. I will trust in you. I will trust in you. I will trust in you.
Amen. Well, I grew up eating Indian food, and it's been my favorite type of food for a long time. Last year, I was introduced to Hawaiian food, Kalua pork, and my mom's leaving. Ooh, good, she's leaving right now. So hopefully she can't hear this, but it's my new favorite food. I'll tell you, I've had it a lot this last year, and I just love it. And tonight, they're serving it as part of the Hawaiian plate. You get kalua pork, rice, a salad, and your drink for $7. No drink included? Well, I'm sorry. Another expense for the drink. But you know what? What a great deal for kalua pork. I mean, that's a very, it's an authentic Hawaiian plate. So I want to encourage you to come out and join us for that tonight at 5:30. I think they start serving at 5, between 5 and 8 o'clock. There's also hot dogs for $1, too, if you want to feed the kids the cheaper food, you know. But you got to try the kalua pork, though, all right? All right. God bless you. You're dismissed. Have a great day.
And I will not be afraid. I will trust in you. I will trust in you. Well, I can't see you. Oh, you're there. I can feel you. I will not fear. I will trust in you, and I will not be afraid. So when the battle is close at hand, oh, you're with me to help me stand. I will trust in you.